How has this elder care landscape really evolved? What are some of the most urgent needs in elder care today?
So I think this is a misconception, as you said, is that it's all about physical needs. It isn't. It's equally about social and emotional needs.
What has been the most rewarding part of your journey, you'd say, so far? Does this mean, Samarth, is a phone call away?
We provision for a care manager who's dedicated to that family.
Okay. What makes Samarth unique?
You have to learn what is their one wish, what are their two fears, and what are their three joys. We offer this in 350 cities across the country. We serve NRIs in 32 countries across the world.
And welcome to this podcast, Navigate with HSBC. Now, today we're going to talk about something that is deeply personal, and that is caring for the elderly. Now, as our parents, as our loved ones age, we want to ensure that they are well supported, even when life may get busy or distance becomes a challenge. And that is why I'm very happy to introduce Ashish Gupta, who is the founder of Samarth Elder Care Services, doing some amazing work in this field to bring a lot of peace and mind, or as you were saying, sukoon to the families that may be away from, you know, their parents and their loved ones. Ashish, thank you very much for being with us here today. Briefly start by telling us about, you know, this service that you have, this company that you built. What led you to it?
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me here. So it's been a a passion and a labor of love over a bunch of years. It really started, you know, there are four of us who co-founded it, and it started with our own experience of not being able to do enough to support our parents. You know, some of us had to come back to India to look after our parents. Some of us were doing that long distance over decades. And we said, look, there must be a better way to do this. And honestly, if there was a Samarth 10 years ago, we wouldn't have started it. And, you know, that passion project developed into a business plan. We did a lot of research. We came up with insights which amazed us. And as we talked to more people, as we talked to friends, we saw that this was a big challenge and a big problem. So Samarth is really an answer to that problem of trying to support our parents when we can't be with them.
Okay. You know, you've started out about 9 years ago. Since then, how has this elder care landscape really evolved? Is there more awareness, you think, in the market about it?
Definitely. And the last 2 years have been particularly eventful.
Why is that?
Because I think the general awareness that elderly and aging is a big challenge has come to, you know, forefront.
Okay.
To my mind, it's the challenge of the century. It's as big as global warming.
Yeah.
And that India too is aging is somehow, you know, starting to dawn on people. So that's one big thing. I think the other thing is it's got many more people excited about it. So in the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of efforts of different kinds, you know, different scale, different ways people are trying to address this problem of elder care, whether it is at home, whether it is outside. And I think the third big change that I have seen is that today a lot more services, discrete services, which can make life easy, all the way from e-commerce and, you know, quick shopping and all that, are available. And available in not just major cities, but tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities. And that's kind of changing the landscape in which we operate.
Okay, you know, what are some of the most urgent needs in elder care today? If you could give us examples, you said online shopping is one. But what are some of the most urgent needs?
So I think there are a few ones which kind of stand out. I think a big one which people don't talk enough about is loneliness and isolation. We always talk about physical support and, you know, medical support. But the big challenge for a lot of elderly, and very early on, as soon as people retire, is a sense of isolation.
Yeah.
And it comes because of, you know, many reasons, lack of mobility, friends and, you know, so on, also moving away, families moving away. So that's one big thing. The second big challenge is healthcare, you know, between navigating hospitals, which are not easy to do, going from one specialist to another, people treating your organs and not necessarily you as a person, polypharmacy, a bunch of things which really make it very difficult for elderly. And as people age, you know, their bodies become different.
Yeah.
So I think these two, to my mind, stand out as the two big problems of elder care.
You know, some of those things that you're talking about perhaps may not be isolated to people that are above 70, 75, 80, maybe even much younger. What is the general age profile where you start to offer these elder care services?
What we have done is we look at these services in two buckets. They're people who require more intensive support and care, of which healthcare is a big part. And there are other needs around, you know, safety, security, engagement, etc. For them, we have one set of offerings or services. The other are younger, I would call them younger elderly or, you know, seasoned citizens.
Yeah, people in their 50s who, you know, have an empty nest now, for instance.
Right. And people who have retired recently.
Yeah.
I think at that stage, loneliness and lack of engagement and sometimes lack of purpose is a big challenge. And so that's the other set of services we have for people for whom you don't need intensive care, but you do need to ensure that there is continued, you know, purpose in life.
Do you often in your line of work come across people with misconceptions about what do they what they think elder care services would entail? What are some of the biggest misconceptions, you'd say?
This was the start of our journey. We started with an idea, like most people, of what elder care could be, right? And very interestingly, we did a large research, which we continue to sort of do every year now, to ask the simple question to variety of people, what is the challenge? What do you think needs to be addressed? Most of people like us, you know, people who have aging parents or elderly, focus on the physical needs.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody should be able to take care of emergencies. Somebody should be able to take care of health.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
That's the thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
When we asked the same question to the elderly, their response was very different. They didn't think that they needed this. Their problem or their challenge was more around, you know, social and emotional needs. And that too, not too many. Three things. People to talk to, which we all know around isolation. Places to go to.
Okay.
We hadn't realized how important lack of mobility and not being able to go to places is. And the third is this need to continue to be needed, that somebody, you know, values me.
Yeah.
So I think this is a big part of or misconception, as you said, is that it's all about physical needs. It isn't. It's equally about social and emotional needs.
You know, the starting of this company, you said, came from a very personal base. You know, you wanted these services for your loved ones and that led you to start the company. What has been the most rewarding part of your journey, you'd say, so far?
You know, it's an interesting question. And see, as any organization or whatever, you know, as a professional, the biggest reward is when people tell you, well done. Yeah?
Yeah.
Companies say, look, you know, we have delighted customers.
Yeah.
I think for us, the biggest reward is that we've taken that one step further. We have customers who are not just delighted, they are grateful. And to me, to have grateful customers or grateful clients, whether they are children or they are elderly, is, I think, the biggest reward. I think what we've also been able to do is for hundreds of women, get them into an opportunity which gives them joy and fulfillment by, you know, serving elderly. So to me, that's the big, you know, reward personally, if you think from the work at Samarth.
You know, when you talk about elder care services, are some of the requirements very specific to male versus female elders?
So there are differences.
Yeah.
Healthcare is a big example of differences. You know, I also do a little bit of work in gender as, you know.
Yeah.
Women get very little attention on their healthcare needs. Women will not go to hospital. Women will not go and
see a
doctor.
They prioritize the health of their family.
And it's probably conditioning from a long time. So I think that's one big difference. I think women are, in a way, a little bit better integrated. Men find it very hard when, you know, they are single or when, you know, they are left alone. Women are able to cope better. So those are a couple of things, but
Well, what would you say are some of the most common challenges that elderly face? I mean, you sort of busted the myth that it's not just medical attention that they require. But what would you say are some of the other challenges they face?
You know, it starts from a position of trust. It's very hard to trust. And for elderly, trust is the biggest, you know, driver of how they make their decisions. You know, I'll give you an example again. Their families who we know, people who we know, you know, like to travel a lot, right? In their, you know, younger days, they would travel a lot. And they've given up traveling. The reason is, and, you know, today you would say that, look, you can buy your tickets online, you can reserve, you know, your cab, etc.
Yeah.
They worry about the in-between things. What happens when they get out of the car and they are boarding a train, right? And God forbid if they have to go to a washroom. So the infrastructurally there are challenges. Mobility is a challenge. So that's one set of things which makes it really, really difficult for elderly to just navigate life as they as they grow old. The second thing is that there aren't enough opportunities for social engagement. You know, the moment you lose a bit of your mobility, and as we discussed, it's hard to sort of, you know, go out. That starts to weigh on your mind. Then very quickly, we see people getting into depression, leading to then physical, you know, lack of wellness. So I think it's a difficult place for people to age.
Yeah.
And that's what we are trying to change at Samarth.
Well, it is a difficult place. And like you said, perhaps one of the most rewarding aspects of your job has been going above and beyond and getting that well done, you know, from some of these people. But is there a story you'd like to share with our viewers that has really stayed with you in what you do? And that work is very, very personal.
You know, people always talk about and want to know how we do what we do. I think the... you know, having strong processes, having robust technology, having training and all that is essential. I mean, without that, you can't, people shouldn't think of elder care without that. But really what makes a difference is care that comes from the heart, right? And I think that's what, you know, the stories, etc. are about, honestly. We've had, you know, I can give you some examples. We had somebody in Agra who, you know, had stopped walking. And it was felt that, you know, this gentleman would never walk. And really, it wasn't a physical problem. In about 6 months of work, our care team was able to get him back up on his feet. He was just so depressed that he had stopped getting out of bed, right? We've had people call us and tell us and say, look, we didn't have a sister and your care manager has added that to our family. So I think there are, those are the kind of things which make you believe that whatever we are doing is worth it.
Well, what you touched upon is essentially not just addressing the physical needs, but more the emotional needs and the psychological needs of the elderly. You know, tell us about the kind of work that you do there, because, you know, that is a large aspect of what you do in elder care.
You know, it's an interesting one. And every senior we look after now thousands of elderly across the country, there is always something that becomes a emotional or social hook on which you can build. So if you have to address the psychological, emotional things, you have to find that hook. Is there an interest that they had, which they have given up because it's just become, you know, too difficult to pursue? Painting, you know, we've had people who like to paint, who like to travel, they've given it up. For some people, it is something that they wanted to do, but couldn't because it was difficult.
Yeah.
Writing a book, learning a new skill. Apart from that, I think they, you know, they've stopped meeting people. So I think you have to figure out what may be the emotional hook around which, you know, our care team, our care managers can, you know, build and create an opportunity for them to engage psychologically and emotionally.
But how easy is it for you to get these elders to open up to you? Because, you know, you're essentially people they don't know from before. You know, they're in a tough spot. How do you get them to even open up to you to get to these emotional hooks to then further solve the problem?
So it takes a little bit of effort. And again, it's something, you know, from the heart. By the way, elderly are very smart and they can differentiate very easily what position you are coming from. And they recognize when they seek care, right? So, of course, the children help. It's all, you know, care is a team effort. And the children equally are part of the care team. So oftentimes you get cues from children about their past, and we invest a lot of time, you know, understanding that. But otherwise, you know, to our care managers, it takes probably 1 or 2 months to get that comfort where they understand enough then to be able to build on that. And once you start that, it becomes a great, you know, very enjoyable thing for both the elderly and our care team to work on, because you can see results, you can see them, you know, blooming again.
Well, you know, in this entire process, what would you say is the role that family plays? Because often you'd have children that are living abroad, trying to take care of their parents that are living here, perhaps alone in India. So how do you, you know, sort of bridge that sort of difference, the difference of thousands of kilometers?
See, the family is, and I've always maintained, and as I said, it's a team effort. Care is a team effort. And the family is an integral part of that team, right? What this does is, or what our work does, is brings the family closer, because it creates more opportunities for the children to engage with their parents in more meaningful ways. So for example, if we take off the burden of a lot of, transactional tasks, then suddenly the two can engage on things that they enjoy more, rather than trying to take care of chores or, sometimes people who are residing abroad, they come for 1 month or 2 months. And we used to see that a lot of their time they would spend on, fixing things, running errands. Now, if they don't have to do that, then that period can be spent much more productively, effectively, joyfully between the parent and the children.
Okay, you've sort of given a sense of what you do here, but for someone who's listening in, what are the core services that you at Samarth Healthcare are able to, Elder Care, are able to offer, for people that are looking to sort of, provide these kind of services for their parents or other loved ones?
So in a nutshell, we do whatever, children would do for their parents.
Okay.
It's a tall claim, but we make it with some, experience and the ability to do that. See, as a child, you would do everything, everywhere, every time for your parents. And we try to get to that. I mean, obviously, getting 100% there is difficult. But to structure this thing, we think about our work in terms of a few care pillars.
Okay.
Right. Healthcare is a big care pillar. So we do everything in healthcare, be it, taking care of medicines, doctors, taking them to hospital, making sure tests are done, whatever is required. The other one is, handling emergencies end to end. God forbid if there's an emergency, then, we are there and we settle it completely. Safety. Making sure the home is fall-proof. Security, prevent from abuse, which sometimes, happens. And there are risks in most cities when they stay alone. There's a whole pillar around convenience needs, which can be as simple as making sure bills are paid to more complex things, repairs, maintenance, visas, passports, etc. And finally, engagement, finding a purpose. So that sort of, spans what we do. And we do it exactly, as children would do.
So does this mean Samarth is a phone call away? Does it mean a person is living in with the elderly 24/7? What is the typically, what does the service entail?
So for every family, what we do is we provide, we provision for a care manager who's dedicated to that family.
Okay.
She, and I'm saying she because, we have about 500 people, 97% of them are women. These care managers sort of lead the effort and really become like family members. They visit the parents, number of times during a month. And through them, we bring all these services together. We have experts. We actually run our own clinic for elderly.
Okay.
Where we have our own doctors, clinicians, etc. We have people who understand insurance very well. We have people who can get any kind of work done in any part of the country. So the care manager ensures that all these services, all these capabilities are brought to bear to the family.
Okay. Do you think that's what sets you apart from the rest that are in this business? What makes Samarth unique?
So I would say there are three things. And the most important one is the kind of people we have. The people who work for us are people like us, folks who have had a professional career, but for a variety of reasons, now choose to do something different and something high impact. So in terms of socioeconomic profile, education, the people who work for us are, very similar to the people we serve. In fact, many of them are also people we serve. And I think that makes a very, very different experience for people to see folks who can actually who are like them and who are playing a role as if they were sisters or brothers for them. I think the second is we have a unique mix of what we call touch and tech.
Okay.
And I'll take a few seconds to explain that. See, the requirement for elderly and for children are very different. The comfort with technology is very different. The children want to see everything, real time. What's going on? Where, what happened, etc. So for them, we have a full-fledged, tech platform on which they see.
For them to get updates.
For them to get updates. For them to, answer that simple question, is everything all right? And they want to know it, every time. So through the app, they get complete visibility. Parents are different. They are at different, there is difference in how tech-savvy they are. Some of them actually don't trust technology, and they will never see any technology. They'll only see our touch, right? Which brings in empathy, which comes from, a person who they can talk to, who they can... So I think that's the second element which is different. I think the third is just the sheer scope of what we do, the depth of the work that we do, and the reach. You know, nobody else has the kind of reach. But today I can say, look, no matter which part of the country your parents are in, we'll be there to support them.
Well, so then finally, a piece of advice you'd like to give to families that are living far away from their loved ones and looking to provide this kind of support to them.
You know, it's difficult to give advice, but...
If I were to put you in a spot, anyway. Yeah.
So again, I would say three things. One, understand how your parents think, right? And this I'm saying because I've heard so many children talk about their frustration because the parents are not accepting help or are, you know, refusing to be supported and so on. We have a very simple framework. It's called 1-2-3, the 1-2-3 of care.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn what is their one wish, what are their two fears, and what are their three joys, right? Their one wish is to stay independent. Their two fears are that I should stay healthy so that I can take care of myself. And they worry about money matters because for them, the money that they have should, you know, rest, help them for the rest of their lives. And they draw joy from three things.
Yeah.
People to talk to, places to go to, and to be needed.
Yeah.
So always think, whatever you are doing, is it playing to one of these things?
Yeah.
Right? If you can increase their sense of independence, if you can address their worries, if you can increase their joy, you know, they'll love it. They'll like it. The second is, when you think of support, start early. Too many people wait too long for something to happen. And I think that's a mistake. Because by then, oftentimes, you know, it's too late.
Yeah.
So think of doing things early. And the third is, do simple preventive things.
Like?
See, so I'll tell you, vaccinations and screenings. People don't do that for adults. We all do for our children when they were small.
Yeah.
But we don't do for adults. There are five, not too many, five vaccinations. And five screens. If you do, then the probability of, you know, life-threatening diseases can go down by 30-40%. They don't cost too much. They don't take a lot of effort. All you have to say is, yes, get it done. So we have a service which gets that done. I think preventive care is the best thing, one of the most essential things every child should, you know, encourage their parents to have.
Ashish, do you want to list down the core services that Samarth offers for elder care?
Sure. So in terms of services, there are five major areas in which we offer services. There is healthcare, in which we cover everything from end-to-end hospitalization to medicines, tests, etc. Home care is a part of it. So people who need that, we can even set up an ICU at home.
Okay.
The second big area is emergency. So again, we handle emergencies end-to-end, including taking care of stuff in the hospital, back, etc. The third big area is safety and security. So from fall-proofing the house to making sure people who are working at home are security checked. In some cases, even installing CCTVs, etc., where there are chances of abuse, etc. The fourth area is what we call broadly convenience needs. And it could be from as simple as making sure bills are paid, utilities are up, to more complex tasks like repairs, maintenance, paperwork, visas, etc. And the fifth and perhaps an equally important one, or I would say more important one, is social and emotional engagement or companionship, in which we bring out old interests. We try to, you know, figure out things which interest them, which would engage them, have them meet other people. We also do travel for seniors, etc., so that they can continue to find joy as well in whatever they do.
Okay.
And today we offer this in 350 cities across the country. We serve NRIs in 32 countries across the world. We have a network of close to 10,000 hospitals, clinics, diagnostic centers, etc., so that in any part of the country, healthcare, you know, is provided completely.
So, you know, someone who's looking to avail of these services, are there various plans you offer, or how does this work?
So we offer a variety of plans. Some are focused on comprehensive needs, or what we call comprehensive care, which covers everything. Some are focused specifically on health. Some are focused specifically on companionship, so one can choose. And of course, for HSBC customers, there are special offers. All the customers also get a dedicated care manager who is sort of the in charge of the care of their family and parents.
Well, absolutely. And Ashish, thank you so much for taking us through what's a deeply personal issue for many people. Perhaps they're grappling with it. And we hope this podcast gives them something to think about. Thank you so much for your time today, Thad.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. On that note, that's it on this podcast, Navigate with HSBC. Do follow HSBC India across their social media handles and visit www.hsbc.co.in for any requirements. On that note, it's a goodbye and thank you for watching.